Live at Leeds is a multi-venue, city-wide festival showcasing the best emerging talent alongside established acts, and I had the wonderful opportunity to come on behalf of the SRAs and Shock Radio to interview some of that talent and to report on the festival. There were some wonderful acts performing that I was extremely anticipating, such as Cosmo Pike, Pale Waves, The Magic Gang, Peace, Tom Walker, The Vaccine, Circle Waves, and so many more. I had an extremely busy day that I was ill-prepared for because when I actually arrived at Leeds late because of train delays, I was wearing my winter coat, anticipating typical English weather, but it turned out to be one of the hottest days of the year. Everyone else at the festival were dressed appropriately though, wearing summer clothes, drinking throughout the day, and exploring the beautiful city, discovering some of the new music Live at Leeds has to offer. Once I collected my wristbands, I made my way over to the O2 stage to interview the first band of the day, the amazingly talented Peace, that were the first to play on the headlining stage. I also had the incredible opportunity to interview a slew of other bands, such as Superorganism, who were one of the most surprising acts I saw of the day, Wildfront, The Magic Gang, 10 Tons, Sam Fender, Tom Walker, and Georgie, a wonderful up-and-coming artist who's toured with the likes of Jake Bugg. But we'll get into all that later on, as I arrived 10 minutes late to interview Harry Koizer of the band Peace. He was an incredibly lovely guy who, when I actually entered his dressing room, he was sat burning sage. Something that I believe a fan sent him, he said. And sage is actually what you might have seen in horror movies, where they burn it to supposedly get rid of ghosts that are haunting the place. So it's safe to say that there weren't going to be any ghosts in this interview. Here it is. I am sat here with Peace, an incredibly talented band that have recently released their third album, Kindness is the New Rock and Roll. What are your feelings like being here at Live at Leeds and being able to play in front of such an amazing crowd?
Feeling very positive this morning. We did Live at Leeds, I think, 6 years ago this very day. And also we're doing 3 shows in one day then. And we're doing 2 shows today, so it seems to be that we've made little progression in 6 years. Now we're in the same spot, so it's kind of cool. I love Live at Leeds, and Leeds is a place, so very happy to be here.
Yeah, Leeds is a beautiful city.
It is
a
great place.
I saw that you released the track From Under Liquid Glass recently in support of mental health, I read.
Yeah, MQ, the charity.
MQ Mental Health. And to speak personally, I this is something that affects me in my life. Yeah. So I wondered if this is something that you have a particular connection with that you'd like to express in your music.
Yeah, 100%. It always had been, but in a very much more metaphorical sense and less sort of heavy-handed about the way that I was writing. The way that we were making the album, the way that I was writing, was using like a much more like deliberate and sort of like heavy-handed lyrical approach. And we'd written a load of the songs that were like the one side of the album, like Kindness is the New Rock and Roll and like Choose Love and Power, which were like empowering. And then the other thing we wanted to do on the album was to shine light on the duality of life. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, within myself as well, as just like pretty like everyone and anyone who's ever dealt with mental health issues.
Yeah.
And that song I didn't write for the album, I just wrote for kind of myself, and then my managers heard it because I send them every boxes, I call them boxes, they're not the files, MP3s of demos, and they picked that one out to go on the album. I was like, nah, I can't do that on the album, that's a whole lot of personal song for me about my shit. And then the producer Simone Felice heard it and was like, you need to go and play it in front of the band, you need to go and play it in the room, and we played it, and then they added in all the big bits at the end. It was originally an acoustic song, and kind of just drawing on personal experiences. In a way that I always have, but in just a way more sweary way, which my grandmother hated.
So what is the main source of inspiration behind writing your music? What would you say it is, personal issues that you want to express?
Yeah,
or do you want to have a connection with people? Or what are you aiming to accomplish by releasing your music?
I think my thing is that I can put something in a song and expose parts of myself, and kind of there's almost like a trade-off in that. So I get over the sort of like hurdle of it being uncomfortable and revealing, and kind of the trade-off is then that other people can benefit in some way, and having the song as a comforting thing or as something that they relate to, or something that when you go to a show and everyone's in the room together doing it, it's like the kind of like the magical feeling of live music, and the reason that everyone does it is kind of the payoff for that, I guess. And I guess I kind of like get to sort of be comfortable behind the barrier of being like a singer.
Yeah.
And like it's part of my job to open up about myself and use myself as inspiration. And then it kind of just balances out. There's a weird equilibrium where it kind of doesn't feel as uncomfortable and kind of...
If you hadn't cultivated a career in music, what else do you think you could be doing today? Or is music the only option for you?
I really don't know. This is something which worries me quite a lot. I always like think about, I'm like, what would have happened if I hadn't have gone to that bar and met that dude who then introduced me to his brother, who then introduced me to that guy who then started managing, you know. I'm like, God, I have no idea, because I have no other skills. I have no real skills except for songwriting, which I had to learn. So it's kind of like, I don't know really, I have no idea.
You can really get lost in trying to retrace your steps.
Yeah,
of like...
yeah. And I do quite a lot. And I think the closest thing, I think that the thing that I was meant to do or would have probably done would have either been to become a roofer, which seems to be what most of my family seem to be good at roofing, the family do. Or just unemployed, I guess. I really don't know. I said to like this really like strict, like right-wing evangelical Christian woman that I encountered, I don't even know where it was, like at some kind of friend's family party or something, when I was about 13, because she asked me what I wanted to do when I was older, and I said, I don't know, and I was like, I guess work in a coffee shop, and she said it was pathetic. I can remember her being rude, she was like, that's pathetic. I was like, wow, oh God. So yeah, maybe that's what I was going to do, work in a coffee shop. It's probably my one ambition I've had.
If you could be remembered for one thing, What would you like people to remember you as? Because obviously, they sort of say that you die twice. You die in body and you die in memory. So how does your memory? How do you want your memory to remain in people's mind?
Yeah, someone said that to me a few days ago. Really? Like the same thing about dying twice. That's cool. I guess just that I did some kind of service to. I can never quite put it into words. It's almost like a If music is kind of like, music sort of morphs into culture and help, and the two sort of inform and change each other and morph, and I'd like to think, or like it's almost like a writing, like a tapestry being woven. So I'm trying to think of some kind of visual metaphor, but I can't put a finger on it, or there's like a cloud that things are being uploaded to. Having done something of some kind of like notability, or like done something, like even if it's minuscule, or have done something sort of that no one else had done before, I guess, which is kind of, that would be cool then, to be like, oh yeah, he was the guy who used that guitar effect in that way, or you know, that combination of amplifiers, or
And you feel like you'd have achieved something.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe that would be best case scenario, I guess.
What's the feeling you get when you walk out on stage to perform? Do you still get nerves, or is it more excitement?
The last shows we did two recently, sort of warm up type things, were really exciting for the first time. And then when we were doing the second album, because it was sort of at the end of a 5 or 6 year stretch of playing like constantly, I can remember quite specifically not really feeling anything, which was quite worrying, because then I was like, just kind of like, it was really casual. It was just like, this is fine. It's like doing it. And it's like, it shouldn't really be like that. But having a little break, I don't really get nervous now, but I do get excited, which is good, because I didn't think that I got excited. This is life now, just feeling like this. But then, it feels quite exciting, I guess.
What's the inspiration behind the name piece?
I can't think of a better word than crusty, really, but you know, it was when we were younger. I don't know what the word is. We used to hang out in a place called Knife Town, which was a district of abandoned warehouses.
Cool.
And like, you know, not really wash, or we were kind of like hippies, but drank a lot of cider. We used to get like really wasted and shout peace and be like world peace, and like Doug used to like chant like we are the future, like well, like we're gonna like change the world. And then like we started a band called November and the Criminal, which was like trying to be like Explosions in the Sky, the post-rock band, mixed with like the Libertines vocals. It was like the worst combination ever. And then we quit that band and started another band, and we were like, we need better songs, a better sound, and definitely a better name.
And the name Peace just stuck.
The name Peace was like, it was just like, you know, it's just floating around you in all these different places. And then it was once I got the government, I don't know how, what some kind of scheme would pay for you to go and work at like a struggling business in town. And when I was like 17 or 18 maybe, and then they paid for me to go and work at this arts workshop, but they didn't have anything for me to do, so I just sit on the computer all day. And then I was just looking through pictures on Google, and there's like a picture of at the end of World War II, and loads of people holding up banners that they must have handed out that just had like peace written in massive on the front. And it was like around the time that we were starting the band, and I was just looking at it for ages, and it's like, that's such a cool picture. I was like, oh God, can you imagine if it was like a band, and that was like the name. Because I was like, that'd be a great like photo for like a profile picture or something, or on the online if your band was called Peace. And I was like, I wonder if there is a band called Peace. And then like I googled it, and there was just nothing. I was like, guys, it's not a band called Peace. We could be called Peace. And like all my friends and people I asked about it were like, that's a terrible idea. It's a rubbish band name. You can't call your band Peace. Quite specifically, like no one said it was a good band name.
You proved them wrong.
Proved them wrong. So there you go.
So what can we expect to see from you in the future? Where do you hope the direction of your band sort of continues? You're touring at the minute, feeling about like album. Anything in mind for the coming years?
A very like boring business, like the management side of it. They're like, we've gotta go to these territories. You gotta show Germany a little bit more warmth on this album, you know, stuff like that. So I guess we're gonna be doing more international stuff. But I'd like to also, I want to surround the, so like the albums that we do as being like, because at the moment it's like 2 years do an album, or this one 3 years do an album. I still want to do albums, but I want to surround it with other music that's still Peace, but almost like doing side projects, but it's not side projects. It's just creating of music and like putting it out like the week after we record it, or, and then no one really does it. And it's kind of, no one says it's a good idea, but I think it could be cool. So it's like, if we do another album in 2 years' time, we could have released, you know, like a collection of like
just
guitar songs with like flute or like, yeah, like, and like just like, why like wait and build up and build up and still do that as well, like build up and do like a body of work, but also release like experimental things that we like to do and like musical ideas, like rather than just like sitting down and being like, I wonder if we could do that, and then forgetting about it, like, do it, release it, but, like, put it on Spotify. Because now you don't need to, nothing stops that. We could hum a tune together now into my phone, I could send it to someone and have it on Spotify in, like, 3 days or something, or, you know what I mean? It's like, why not just do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It'll give you a lot of creative freedom to be able to explore ideas and getting those noted down to then maybe develop in the future, but, you know, like, having a quick turnaround, I think that's a...
Could be cool, just releasing music all the time.
Yeah.
And just being a workaholic about it. Because I hate doing anything else. So why not? Let's do it. I need a studio though. I don't have one. I don't have any of the stuff to do this, but like it's a bit of a pipe dream, but maybe.
Well, there's an artist that I can't think of his name, but he records everything into his phone, so you can like plug like a guitar into your phone, into GarageBand, and a microphone, and he records everything, all produces his, like music fully throughout his phone. It's good.
Yeah, I didn't have a phone till recently, but I'm kind of getting on board with them now. I've got Flappy Bird on it, so I'm happy. I'm like a little child. Like. Yeah, I'm getting on board with that. I'm starting to wake up to the sort of the idea of where things are headed, technology, etc., etc.
Well, thank you so much for a fantastic interview. It was lovely to talk to you.
Great.
I hope you have a great show today as
well. Thank you very much. Yeah. I hope you have a good weekend.
And so after the interview, we continued to chat and I introduced him to one of my favourite artists playing at Live at Leeds, Cosmo Pike. And after our bonding session, I made my way out and noticed that the Vaccines' dressing room were just right opposite where we were. And I was tempted to knock and get an interview, but I was swiftly advised not to by the manager, which I think is just an opportunity missed. Who doesn't want an unannounced, unwelcome interview? Maybe it will happen next time. I swiftly made my way over to the Stylist stage after the chat with Harry to interview a couple more artists that included Wildfront and Superorganism. Wildfront were the first I met with the band joking around at the bizarre toilets Leeds University SU had, which were these like urinals that you sit in, I think. None of us could figure it out, and so we just decided to start the interview. I am sat here with Wildfront. Obviously, you're playing live at Leeds. Mm-hmm. How do you feel being able to perform at a festival like this?
Yeah, pretty good. This is our third time in Leeds, I think.
Yeah.
And I think generally, we really love playing here. We did a show with a band called Air at Hyde Park Book Club a few months ago, which we like loved to bits. And we did the Chapel a while ago on our headline tour. So I'm pretty stoked to be back.
Really love these kind of metropolitan festivals. Well, we played Great Escape last year and it's the first time being at Live at Leeds and we love the vibe of Great Escape, so it's like really
excited to hop into loads of different venues and
having like loads of like bands playing that you kind of know or you know of, and it's like really cool being able to just
Go and check people out.
Yeah.
I saw that you've released a few singles, but you haven't yet released an album. What sort of material are you playing at the show today? Is it some unreleased stuff, or like what can we expect to hear?
So we got a single coming out on the 18th of May, so we're going to be playing that one. Generally, I think most of the set today is a lot of the stuff that's on Spotify.
There's a few tracks that we kind of haven't released. That's kind of not really planned to release as such yet. So they've always been in our set.
So what's the inspiration and motivation behind you guys having started a band? Like, when did you start?
So we started as Wildfront. It was probably about 2 years ago now, maybe just over. But yeah, we all used to play. So Jack, the singer, used to have a folk project. It was just him and acoustic guitar, and we started playing in his band. We're talking like seven years ago now. And so that was obviously like Jack's project and the three of us, and just slowly we started to kind of play a bit more rocky stuff, maybe like have a bit of like indie influence, and
just kind of like
it wasn't really fitting with the sound, and it was nice to start to like kind of write stuff as the four of us, and then that kind of morphed into it being our own project, put a new name to it, and here we are.
If you hadn't of cultivated, like, because obviously you're currently cultivating a career in music, you're releasing some amazing music, playing shows, you know, like live at Leeds, but if you hadn't cultivated a career in music, what else do you think you'd be doing?
Football. I think that's a unanimous thing. Or maybe you'd be a mathematician.
Josh is a boffin.
Yeah. So if I hadn't have gone to uni to study music, I definitely would have done maths and probably would have become an accountant or something like that.
So it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, basically. And then music just trumped it slightly, and then
we'd all be footballers.
If we were good enough.
You want to be footballers, but it probably wouldn't have happened.
I'd be a footballer.
Definitely.
Yeah, without doubt.
How would you want to be remembered?
I mean, our goal is to just play shows every night, I guess. To like, I don't know that we want to be like ridiculously huge, but I think we want to be able to play shows every night.
You just want to have fun with it,
like our music. Yeah. I think that's the dream, really.
Yeah, I think we all want to be that kind of thing where like in 10, 20 years time, people still listen to our music and go, oh, that means something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we need to sell loads of records or anything like that, but just we want people who like our music to still like it in 20 years, 30 years time, and it'd be quite special to them.
So. Yeah, and I think we kind of generally say we're a bit of a live band, so I think in however many years to come, I think the idea of people still coming to our shows is what we want.
And do you try to find a connection with like your audience through your music?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's like the best part of playing the shows, I guess.
In terms of like lyrics and motivation, and in terms of where you source your inspiration from to write your songs, can you tell me a bit about where that comes from?
I think that's in terms of inspiration for songs, it's not so much actually playing the shows. I guess we tour a lot, so I guess we write a lot on the road, and it's just life experiences, I guess. Yeah, most of the songs.
You're just sort of channeling everything that happens into the music.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 30 minutes later, I made my way down to interview Superorganism, the 8-piece pop band that have some incredibly fun to listen to singles such as Everybody Wants to Be Famous and Something for Your Mind, all of which can be found on their debut self-titled album released earlier this year. Although coming into the interview, I did feel a little bit anxious, as when I was led backstage to where all of the artists were hanging out, tuning their guitars and preparing for the day ahead of them, and I walk in sweaty, carrying a bunch of audio equipment, tired, dehydrated, definitely not looking my best. And as I walk in, I get this sea of faces staring up at me. So I just take my place and quietly waited for the interview to begin, excited to subsequently have Superorganism be the first band I see of the festival. I'm sat here with Superorganism, the incredible band that have recently released their self-titled debut album and are a part of the SRA class of 2018. So how are you feeling helping to kick off festival season today?
Yeah, really excited. We've done quite a bit of touring earlier in the year, so we're kind of very road tight and ready to go.
Yeah, we've had a couple of weeks at home.
Yeah.
That have been nice and chill, but we're about to go on a whole bunch of summer festivals and then back to America
Yeah.
It kind of
feels a bit more relaxing, though, in a way, compared to touring where you're playing, like, every night. Like, for the next couple of months, like, you know, we're doing events like this, like, a couple every few days. And so it feels like a more relaxed pace to me in some ways. So, yeah, really excited for it.
This is your first time at Leeds? Or have you visited
we
before?
In November, we played with Jungle.
Yeah, we supported Jungle. And then we played, I can't remember the name of the venue, but we played like just before we went to South by Southwest. Like, we played in Leeds, and then after the show, we packed up, drove down to Heathrow, and then flew straight to Austin. Like, we didn't stay overnight or anything. We just went down there and just went straight over to America. So that was like, what, maybe 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm losing track of time at this point.
So how was the journey been from when you first got together to now? Did you expect such an overwhelming amount of success so quickly?
I reckon it's been super weird.
Yeah.
And amazing. And we're just taking everything as it comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just trips you out, you know, because like when we certainly didn't expect anything. Like when you start a new project, you know, I feel like you can... All you can do is you can make music that you feel really happy about and that's really, you know, that you feel really excited about. But, like, a great song is not necessarily going to be popular, you know what I mean? Just because you've written a great song. So when we kind of started out, like, we were writing stuff and we were all really excited about it, but we didn't, like, we thought maybe a few hundred people would like it, but, you know, we didn't expect it to kind of blow up and go so quickly. So everything that's happened since has just been such a blur because it all has just happened so fast. And our lives haven't really changed that much, apart from the fact that we're not working day jobs anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, outside of that, like, we live in the same crappy house that we started
really
in.
Really crappy.
Really crappy. Like, I have to emphasize that. Like, so many times, because all of us, apart from Seoul, live in the same house, and... We always get these questions like, oh, it must be like this really cool, like
warehouse.
East
Hendon,
East London warehouse, and oh, it must be a really cool vibe in there. And it's really not. It's like the crappiest student flat with like way too many people living in it. So it, in a lot of ways, it just feels the same as when we started out.
Yeah.
But then obviously we have all these various moments where we're like playing sold out shows in America and stuff, and it's just like, oh shit, yeah, okay, things have changed.
So what actually inspires the writing process of making new music is like, where do you draw inspiration from?
I think at the core is like a lack of rules. Like, there's no like central thing to it. It can be kind of, it can start anywhere and it can go anywhere and it can kind of be about anything as well, you know? So it ends up being quite loose and quite chaotic process overall.
Yeah. It's never the same, is it?
Yeah.
Like each time.
Yeah. I think it's important not to impose. Some great art has been made by people imposing rules on themselves. Like, I think about like the White Stripes making Elephant.
Yeah.
You know, that's he set a lot of rules on himself to around that, and it created a great piece of art. But I think that like when you've got eight people in a band and you've got quite a few different kind of perspectives and approaches and stuff, you kind of don't want to restrict it. You just want to let it happen and see what happens. And that's really been our approach with everything. Like, in terms of the lyrical ideas and stuff, I mean, Orono writes the bulk of our lyrics, but quite a lot of it comes from like collaborative processes, like conversations that happen. Like, you know, we hang out in the kitchen and we listen to music together and we talk about music together and we talk about, I don't know, just, you know, just talking to each other as friends do. And that's often where the seed of an idea will come from. And then, you know, someone might plant that seed and then someone else comes and waters it until it becomes a plant. You know what I mean? So like someone's original idea, someone else might pick that idea up and carry it to its conclusion.
Yeah.
You know? So it can come from anywhere and it can work in any different ways.
It must be like such a collaborative experience of having so many band members in it. How do you find it working with each other? How do you bounce ideas back and forth and turn an idea into a song?
I mean, I guess the thing is that everything's so blurred now, right? Because we live together and we work together and then we're on the road together.
Yeah.
So there's no... there's no direct way of doing anything. It's always just like, you can't, and quite often I find that we talk about where we got ideas from and no one can ever remember who started it because it becomes like this layer upon layer of people
trying to retrace your steps.
It's kind of like a brainstorm, like a, you know, an elaborate
crazy
brainstorming session
that
gets to something. I heard about when Kanye West was making the song Black Skinhead off Yeezus. Apparently someone walked into the studio at some point and was wearing like leather black leather jeans. And there's a line in that song, like, with my black leather jeans on. And apparently that guy got a credit for walking into the studio and inspiring Kanye to come up with that line. So I kind of feel like in a less ridiculous way, like, it's kind of a similar process. Like, you kind of can't... Yeah, you can't chase it. No, you can't pin it down too much. Or, I mean, there's some things that you can always pin down, but it's kind of all over the place. Kind of like a factory approach in a way, you know? It doesn't really matter. It's the whole philosophy, I think, of the band is, like, it doesn't really matter about, like, where it came from or what even the conclusion is. It's more about, like, or the process, sorry, it's more about the conclusion. It's, like, it doesn't really matter how you get there. Like, if you've got a good idea, then that's what comes to the surface of the band. Yeah.
What's the feeling that you get when you're walking out on stage to perform? Is there any nervousness or what's...
I reckon there's always a tiny bit of nervousness, but I feel like when I stop feeling like that, that's when I'm not enjoying it anymore, because you want to put on a good show for everyone, so that the nerves is part of that. But mostly, I don't know, I feel like we're just all having a really great time.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It varies from show to show, I guess. Yeah. Like, some shows you feel more pressure than others, you know?
Yeah, because you know who's in the audience.
Yeah, or even just the size of the audience, you know? But it's funny because I think some shows, that's the thing, we've got 7 people on stage at any given show. And so at some shows, I think that some people, like, one member might be feeling nervous while someone else is feeling, like, godlike confidence. You know what I mean? Like, we played this great show out in South by Southwest, which was a really big crowd, like maybe 2,000 people or something. That Stubbs one.
Yeah.
And at that show, like, Ruby B and Soul and Orono, they're kind of the vocalists of the band. Mm-hmm. All of you guys afterwards were like, oh yeah, that was a really cool show. That went really well and everything seemed to be really great and perfect. Whereas like for like me and a couple of the other guys that are playing the instruments at the back, like we had a bit of technical difficulties and stuff during the set, which we troubleshooted on the fly, but it meant that like you kind of had this weird experience where some people got off stage just like, oh my god, how great was that, we nailed that was so good, and then some of us got off stage like, wait a minute, did we just play the same show, because it felt really... So you get all of this like different perspectives on how it goes. And
it is definitely different every time, isn't it? And at that show, Sol flipped a keyboard, someone else's keyboard, off the stand because we were dancing.
You know the rapper Common?
No, I didn't.
Well, he's quite a famous American rapper, and he was playing like after us, and the keyboard player had this big motif keyboard. It's called. It's like a really big, cumbersome, heavy thing, and it wasn't like taped down. It was rocking on the stand it was on, and because Sol was dancing really energetically that show, because he was having a great show, like I was saying before. Like I think at some point maybe he bumped it, or the stage was kind of like moving dangerously, and the whole keyboard just went, boom. It like fell off the stand and like smacked against the floor, and we all just looked at each other like, oh shit, did Common just see that, or are we gonna get in trouble here?
No, it was good, he picked it up really quickly.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was a great... Yeah, it is that thing of everyone having slightly different perspectives on the shows, but
the way you speak about it sounds like you have a lot of fun when being able to perform and travel around the world.
I mean, it's like, is there a better way to kind of see different places? You know, you go to, like, I've been to places as a tourist, and if you don't know anyone there, then you're just kind of a tourist. You know, you kind of don't really get to see it. Whereas one of the coolest things about being in a band is that you get to meet people, and you know, you've got some local people that will show you around, or like some cool people that you'll meet who will tell you some cool spots, and you know. And it kind of develops like that. And like after the show, a lot of the time, like on our tour, we were going out after we'd played and talking to people at the merch stand and stuff. And, you know, like interacting with people that are from, like we played in some random places like Madison, Wisconsin, like people that live in Wisconsin that have found our music on the internet, connected with it in a really personal way, and then come along and like, sometimes it's almost like they kind of know us already. And it's this weird experience that you get where it's like, I never thought that I'd ever get to Madison, Wisconsin. Like, when would you think that that happened? But there we were.
Don't you think it just feels like we've been let out of the house? Like, everyone's been cooped up for so long in the house.
Get cabin fever.
Yeah, and then you take it out and you're like, oh, these people have been listening to the album. They know the songs as well. It's great. It's good times. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me. I hope you have a great show today. So I just finished watching Superorganism set, and they did not fail to disappoint. They played an energetic and engaging show with some of the craziest visual work I've seen from a band. It was difficult, I think, for anyone to pull their eyes away from the stage, as the band were clearly having the time of their lives, dancing some choreographed moves along with the insane videos and spectacular music. I could not be happier that these were the the first I saw of the festival. If they're playing in your area, I highly recommend you go and see them. They are not a band to be missed. And so, as evening drew closer, I made my way over to interview possibly one of my favourite bands, Brighton-born The Magic Gang, who were on shortly before the vaccines at the O2 stage. I actually met these guys in the beer garden of a pub just down the road from where the venue was, and they were enjoying a beer in the sun, having just arrived waiting for soundcheck. It's actually rare in interviews to get the whole band together. Something that's often challenging is you never know who's going to speak, but my anxiety quickly left me at the first hello, as they were some of the most genuine and lovely people I've met. Here's some of my thoughts from the day and the conversation I had with them. We're entering the evening here at Live at Leeds, waiting for the incredibly talented The Magic Gang to perform songs from their latest self-titled debut album released earlier this year. I got to chat with them earlier this afternoon, and they were the most genuine and lovely people. I cannot wait to see them perform. The audience in the O2 Arena is huge, with fans of the bands and newcomers alike all anticipating one of the headlining shows of the festival. I am here with The Magic Gang, who are part of the SRA class of 2018, to talk about their new self-titled album that you released earlier in the year and your gig here at Live at Leeds. How are you feeling going into to Live at Leeds to helping kick off festival season?
I think it's an excellent way to kick off the festival season. Every time we play here, it's been an absolute smasher, so it's all positive vibes today. We're all very excited.
When we played last year, we were playing the church at like maybe 1 in the afternoon. We were like, you kind of expect the worst, hope for the best, but we turned up and it was completely rammed, and it was like one of our favourite shows we've ever played, I'd say. So yeah, hopefully today we'll top it, we'll see.
What's the inspiration behind sort of getting together and writing and performing music?
I feel like it was more of a necessity, like, for us. I mean, before this band, we were all playing in bands from like quite a young age, loads of different stuff, and I feel like it was a great like creative outlet for us at university and stuff like that. It just so happened, you know, we got together and people liked the songs we put online, and now it's become like a job, which is amazing. Yeah. I guess the inspiration is, yeah, just like we just have to do it. It's not even like we'd be doing it anyway, but we're just lucky to do it as a job.
Yeah, you've been doing it anyway, so you want to make money from it, live on it.
Yeah.
If you hadn't have cultivated a career in music, what else do you think you would be doing? Or is music the only option?
I'd be a very gifted left winger, and would be playing for England and a reasonable sized Premiership club, of course.
So honestly, like a Stoke or
something pretty like
something humble.
Some humble, verging on kind
like
of. They're way down. Yeah, that's probably what we'd all be doing.
I was going to say we'd all be Premiership footballers.
Very good quality.
But there's much more music, money in music, I think.
Of course, yeah. So when you perform live, what song or what sort of set of songs do you find get the best reaction out of the audience?
I think obviously a lot of the older ones get like a lot of people singing along because they're more familiar. But we've found now from like sort of road testing in the album, we kind of know which ones from the album go down well.
Yeah.
So we love playing Osaki, which is the first song from the album. We come out and play that first, and that seems to like, people seem to get on board with that. So I'd say that's a bit of a favourite.
Yeah. And where are you guys heading? Because obviously you've just released the amazing album. Are you touring Europe or?
Yeah. So we're doing the kind of like official album tour in September in the UK.
Okay.
We're doing the biggest venues we've ever done, you know, crazy size for us. And then we're going out to Europe for the first time, doing a headline show.
That must be exciting.
Yeah, really exciting. We're going to places like Bologna and Turin in Italy, and Madrid. Like, it's going to be like amazing to just go to those places.
It's a really great way, being like musicians, to be able to travel the world.
Totally. And you get to see a lot of Europe, but in one week.
Yeah.
And we've barely been outside of England, so it's still very fresh and exciting for us to do so.
Where are you guys from in England?
We're the band formed in Brighton.
Brighton, okay.
Yeah.
What's the feeling you get, right, as you're about to walk out on stage and perform? Do you find you get nervous?
Pure dread.
Yeah,
pure.
More like dread. It's not really like nervous. It's more kind of like, oh no. Something bad.
I think we get quite giddy, actually.
Yeah.
Like, we become a bit like childish.
Yeah,
everything sort of falls apart just as we're going on.
Yeah. Like we kind of we move acting a lot out.
Silly, but at least we're doing that. You know, we can talk about it and we can have fun rather than we don't go sort of inside ourselves, which is I think is quite important.
No, we you know we're always excited.
Yeah,
we never feel a dread.
It also depends which stage you're walking out onto as well, because sometimes it's terrifying and then sometimes it.
Yeah, if you've got a huge audience size.
Or even if it's sort of an audience that's maybe a little bit more intimate, that can be quite scary.
Based on interviewing some other people, they've always said that like the smaller venues can be the most nerve-wracking because it's much more personal.
I would say so. I would agree with that.
Yeah, because like playing to like a sea of faces is fine, but when you're in like a 50 cap venue and you can see everyone and everyone's reactions, that can be like really testing.
So if you could be remembered for one thing, how would you want your audience or how do you hope people look at you or will remember you?
Like good quality music.
Good quality music.
Yeah.
Just being like, you know, they weren't like really following any sort of trope or whatever, but the songs were great and you know.
And just being ourselves, not putting up a facade of being any kind of like rock star band.
Yeah.
Just being four friends who like writing songs and enjoy playing them.
Yeah.
It's kind of that simple.
And being nice guys.
Yeah. Nice guys. The nicest guys in indie rock. That's
Famously known as, or infamously known as, the nice guys of India.
Thank you ever so much for a fantastic interview.
It was great to meet you.
The Magic Gang just finished an incredible performance that got the crowd singing and dancing along with every single song. They sound like such a well-rehearsed and passionate band for the music they perform, with their stage personas being nothing but genuine and true to themselves. They are not a band to be missed in the future, as I expect them to grow only bigger and better in years to come. Listen to their self-titled album today on Spotify or iTunes. I'm Joshua Macy here at Live at Leeds on behalf of the SRAs and Shock Radio. I then got to meet and talk to possibly one of the biggest and fastest rising artists currently out there, Tom Walker. He was an incredibly lovely guy, but he was clearly having an interesting day as the interview took a while to start due to people collaring him for pictures and asking for autographs. And his manager actually ended up having to play bodyguard while I was speaking to him just to keep everyone away. A problem I definitely do not envy him for. Here it is.
I'm here with Tom Walker, an incredibly talented musician that exploded onto the scene with some fantastic singles that include Heartland, Leave a Light On, and you've most recently released your EP Blessings, and you're touring Europe and England.
Yes.
How are you feeling, like, having helped kick off festival season at Live at Leeds today? How was the set?
Really good. We were playing today with a drummer that I've never played with before. As like a depth, because we're doing 150 gigs this year, and the drummer obviously does a few different things, and he couldn't make like a couple of the gigs. So, yeah, but it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, he's Ben, who's filled in, was absolutely wicked, and yeah, the crowd was really good, and yeah, wicked venue. So cool. Love the stained glass window with like the light shining through. It's super super cool.
So you're from Glasgow originally, but you grew up in Manchester.
Yeah. Hence the northern accent.
Yeah. But which, I live in Manchester. I moved there 2 years ago. And speaking personally, I found that the city itself has had quite a profound impact on me.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say that you feel similar in that your environment of being raised, growing up in Manchester, has had an impact on you and on your music at all? You know, especially as it's so famous for bands like the Stone Roses and Oasis and Joy Division. I didn't know if your environment had an impact on your music.
I definitely would say so, yeah. I mean, I went to college in Northwich, which is not too far from Manchester. I mean, it's in the area. And all the lads that I met there, I started bands with, and they were obviously grew up in that area, so they were listening to Joy Division and Oasis. So yeah, I guess so. But I don't know, my dad really got me into music, and he listens to everything from Deadmau5 to Foo Fighters to Led Zepp to, you know, he's got like Daniel Bedingfield's album. Do you know what I mean? He's got everything.
So your dad really introduced you to music?
He introduced me to everything. So obviously growing up in Manchester was absolutely amazing. The music scene is class. I would say it was more me and my dad sitting down most weekends and digging out a new CD or digging out a new vinyl and playing it and listening to it together. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But I love Manchester. I went from your first beer in Night and Day when I was 18. That was where I had my birthday party, and then I think like 7 years later sold it out, which was really nice. So yeah, happy days.
Yeah, I mean, I find it incredible that within only sort of a year and one EP under your belt, you've had such an overwhelming amount of success already. Mm. Like, the sound of your music is such a unique and strong breath of fresh air.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
But listening to your lyrics, it's clear that you have a lot that you want to express and connect with in your audience.
Yeah, sure.
Is this your goal with music? And where do you find yourself drawing inspiration from the most?
It's just everything that goes on in my life, really. If something really bad happens to me, I'll write a song about it. If something really good happens to me, I'll write a song about it. I don't know.
It's very much self-expression.
Yeah, it's kind of selfish, you know what I mean? It's funny because the last single we put out is called Leave a Light On. It was really personal to me, and one of my mates was going through a bit of a problem with like addiction.
Yeah.
And I selfishly wrote that because I was trying to get through to him and I couldn't really get through, and I wanted to write a song about it to kind of make me feel better and maybe show it to him and kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that song, like, obviously the interpretation that I had of it, that it was about addiction and pain and someone that you love, which strikes a particular chord with me in my life.
Yeah.
I just wondered, is it a particularly emotional song to play?
Yeah, it is. You know, it was about me, mate, but also I've had my troubles with things in the past, and I think everybody's been addicted to something at some point in their lives and struggled with it, so it's difficult playing it, but also it's amazing to see the reaction and there's been so many messages from like people from all over the world that have said this has really helped me through this, or you know, like I've had a problem
that
with
must
drugs,
be a really or, special thing to...
Yeah, it's really cool, so it's nice that a song that was quite sad for me has helped a lot of people.
Yeah,
so it's cool.
What's the feeling that you have right as you're about to walk out on stage? Do you find that you get nervous or
just well nervous? Well, it depends what day it is. The bigger it gets, not the harder it's getting. But we were doing a gig the other day, and I hadn't slept in a long time, and it had been like four. It was the fourth gig in a row, which is always like difficult on a tour of like I don't know how many gigs, like I don't know, like 12 gigs or something. It's towards the end, and I saw somebody walk out the door, and I was like, halfway playing the song, I was just like, oh God, everyone hates me, nobody thinks I'm very good. And then I saw him come back, and I was just like, oh no, he just went to the bathroom. And I was just like, you know, you get in your head sometimes, but I really enjoy a great deal of the gigs. And, you know, everybody has a bad day at work some days, so, you know, yeah.
If you didn't cultivate a career in music, what else do you think you could be doing right now?
Sod all. I've had many a job, and I've been terrible at all of them apart from this, so... Yeah, I don't know. I've just always gone to music. I've got like an A star in music at GCSE, and then kind of four C's and a D and an E and everything else. You know what I mean? I got a D in music.
It was the exam where you had to like listen to a piece of music.
Oh,
and,
the
like,
ear training.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's rubbish that. It's
yeah,
rubbish.
It was really fucking.
Like, who does that? Were you allowed your instrument when you were doing it?
No. We had to sit in an exam hall and just listen to it and annotate like the music.
I failed that as well on my uni degree, and it knocked me back a bit. And it's so pointless. When are you going to need to do that? Like, you just have your guitar or your instrument with you to help you do it. So yeah, I think I don't agree with that stuff.
Yeah. What can we expect to hear from you in the future? Like, is there plans for a full length album?
Yeah, the album's coming out. It's called What a Time to Be Alive. It'll be the end of the year or next year, and you know, it's a collection of songs about stuff that I've gone through, stuff my mates have gone through, happy, sad, what's going on in the world, a bit of everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you ever so much for taking the time to talk with me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No worries. Nice one. Cheers.
Thank you so much. It's 8 o'clock here at Live at Leeds for one day only festival, bolstering a heap of talent performing across the city at various venues. It's been an incredibly hot and sunny day with people enjoying the weather, drinking and soaking in the music. I'm here on behalf of the SRAs and Shock Radio outside the O2 Academy, anticipating the vaccines coming on soon. It's been a wonderful day and a fantastic experience coming to this festival. It isn't one to be missed in the future. I'm here with 10 Tons, who is a part of the SRA class of 2018 here at Live at Leeds. How are you feeling?
Yeah, going very good, thank you. Very excited and looking forward to the gig. Not played a gig in like 6 weeks, which is like feels like a long time because we had 2 months solid on tour. So now to not have done a gig in that long.
Well, where were you touring?
Just the UK, just up and down the UK. So we had 3 different support tours. So we had like little bits of time off between the 3, but it kind of worked out. It was about 2 months. Yeah, it felt weird not playing for that long. So it's exciting to be back.
And what sort of material are you playing? Because obviously I saw that you have a few singles out, but you have no album or
anything. Yeah, so kind of working on the album at the moment. So there's a few tunes in the set that are on the album, and there's a few that kind of we've kind of just been building the set up as songs are finished, kind of add them to the set. So it's quite nice. So some of them might not end up on the album, but we've got quite a solid set, I feel, of like a few tunes that are out already, and then some that are about it, I think.
And how's the reaction from the audience when you go out and play?
Yeah, usually pretty good, touch wood. Yeah, usually pretty responsive, which is always good. It's good when you have a crowd that are into it as well. It always helps.
That moment before you walk out on stage, what goes through your mind? Or
I'm usually like pretty like zen, like just like go quite quiet and just like focusing on the gig. Always a little bit nervous, and it depends what the gig is. Some feel like they've got more pressure on them, just the bigger ones or the ones that are like, whenever I play in London, because that's kind of my like all my friends come to that one, whenever my friends or family are there, that always feels like more fresher for some reason. Even though they're the crowd that are probably going to be nicest to me, but yeah, usually just pretty relaxed. The more you do, the better you get.
What is the inspiration and the driving force behind you wanting to write and share music?
Well, it's just a love of absolutely love music, and I always have, and I'm just constantly, when I was younger, I was just constantly sponging up everything that I could possibly get my hands on, and it's just like, I love so many great artists, so it's cool to be able to do it myself and kind of write tunes that, because I think to write good tunes, they've got to be songs that you kind of want to hear. You've got to write the tunes that you would like to listen to.
And where do you find your inspiration from to write the music? Do you find yourself exploring particular themes or thoughts?
Kind of, and it's kind of like, because you can listen to so many great artists that you admire, and it's like trying to get some of their, what you like about it without just copying it. So it's kind of that. But yeah, I write songs about a lot of things, really. I'm always kind of writing notes on my phone, and just as I walk around, little thoughts that I have.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to do it, actually, just live in your life, just kind of make little notes and then put them together into a song.
What's your personal favourite song that you've written, and what is your favourite song to perform?
Favourite song I've written, they're kind of both, the same answer for both those is kind of the same, is like a song of mine called Lucy, which is like the first one I put out, and I wrote that. That was kind of the first song that when I dropped out of uni, I did a year of uni and dropped out.
Oh, what did you do?
Music production.
Production.
Not too different. But that was kind of the first song that I wrote that I was like, I want to properly do this now. So I kind of, put much more emphasis on it. And I always wrote every day, but it's kind of like a lot more like, kind of driving force behind it. So that one always goes down well because it's kind of my oldest song and it's the one that everyone knows and people can sing along to it and whatever. So I always like playing that one. It's always a good set. Like, no matter how the set goes, we can kind of always, if it's not going too well, that kind of always swings it back a little bit. I love playing that one live. There's a bunch of new ones as well that are really fun to play as well, because those ones that haven't been played much, so they're still exciting to get out and play.
And what's it like when people are singing along with your songs?
Oh, it's amazing. That's kind of like, that's what you want. That's the best gig, I think, you can possibly get. I've got better at kind of like trying to get them pushing audiences to kind of sing along. Because people always, like, I love a sing along, but like, I get as well people don't always want to do it. But yeah, there's a few tips you can be like, oh, sing along to this bit. Because that's the bit, that's always my favourite bit, is when people sing along. So,
what can we expect to see from you then in the future? You said you were working on the album. Mm-hmm. Are you planning on touring Europe or you?
Yeah, so I've not done a headline tour yet. So hopefully that'll be in September, and kind of finishing the album in the next couple months, so hopefully be out about, I think it's either going to be September time or maybe January. I think you can't really, otherwise it just is Christmas season and Michael Bublé will steal all your sales, but so kind of that. And I'd love to play some more gigs further afield. I think that's why support tours are so great, because you can kind of get to play countries
get to build like audience
exactly and kind of play venues that are quite good, because it's what that all that artist is, kind of venues that they're playing, and you kind of get to get a bit of their audience, which would be great. So yeah, just more of the same, really, writing, recording and playing and good stuff.
It was lovely to talk to you, and thank you for a fantastic interview.
Cheers, thank you very much.
I later found out after the interview with the lovely Ethan Barnett of 10 Tons that he is actually George Ezra's younger brother, which made a lot of sense, as during the whole interview I was trying desperately to place why he looked so familiar to me. But with the sun soon to set and the music to continue until day's finish, I went to interview my last artist of the day, Georgie, someone who wasn't previously on my radar, but after a fantastic chat and an introduction to her music, I can safely say she will go extremely far, and I hope to see her headlining her own show in Leeds in years to come. I am with Georgie here at Live at Leeds, who is an incredibly talented up-and-coming musician that has just released her EP, Too Much TV. How's it going?
Yeah, good. It's good to be in Leeds.
Is this your first time playing in Leeds? Or?
No, No. I've played it quite a few times now. I was here not long ago with Jake Bourne, playing the Grand Theatre.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then I've done the O2 here with Jake Bourne, played a few bars. I've played it quite a few times.
Yeah. So you've toured with Jake Bourne?
Yeah, Jake Bourne.
That must have been exciting.
Yeah, it was great. I've done three tours with him now, actually. And they've all been great, so it's a good artist to be on tour with.
Yeah, definitely. So what's your inspiration and driving force behind wanting to create, write and share music?
I think like the message of music, like you can really get into people's souls with music, and I've always loved that about music. Like the people that I love are the people that I can relate to, like Carole King and Stevie Nicks and stuff like that. So I think that's the main thing for me. I think I just want to feel something from music, and hopefully people can feel something from what I'm singing about. So, yeah.
Where do you find the inspiration to write your music? Where do you find yourself drawing from? Is it experiences or thoughts or ideas?
Everything. I think like part of what I do is like storytelling. So like maybe a story that has actually happened to me or someone close to me. But yeah, a lot of the time it's kind of self-experience. I mean, that's like, it's just the honesty is important. I think if you're singing about someone you can relate to, you can sing it properly, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So, yeah.
And do you hope to make a connection with the audience then through your music?
Yeah, that's the most important thing for me, really. It's like connecting to people and hopefully they can relate to what I've been through, if you know what I mean.
And what's the feeling that you get when you are about to walk out onto stage? Do you find it's nervous or...?
No, I've done it so many times now. I think I've played like 300 gigs, so it's like, I know, it's experience. But still, you get that excitement and the adrenaline, and like, no matter how big the stage as well, it's always like exciting and... Yeah. I love it, so it's, yeah.
What's your personal favourite song to perform live?
That's When It Feels... I've gone called That's When It Feels Like Love. I think that might be my favourite. I do a Renette's cover as well, Be My Baby. I like to sing that one. Yeah. That's good fun. Yeah.
Obviously, you have an EP, you have a few singles out. What can we expect to see from you in the future? Are you planning on like full-length album? Or?
Yeah, there's talks at the minute of just putting out an album this year, so just lots of songs that I've been sitting on for ages, even some demos, and just songs that I really just want to put out. I think I'm just going to put them out.
And have you been playing those songs live already?
Yeah, quite a lot of them. Been road tested, so
yeah. And how's the audience's reaction to the songs?
Yeah, good. So that's one great thing about touring, is like you can see which songs sit well. So, and there's a real mixture of like some songs I play live I wrote like 5 years ago, some I wrote like last year, some are like brand new. So it's nice to see what people like.
Thank you ever so much for a fantastic interview. I hope you have a great set.
Thank you.
The Vaccines just finished playing the headlining set, and they absolutely lived up to the hype that surrounds them. Early this year, they released their new album, Combat Sports, with several tracks from this album being played live, with songs like I Can't Quit and Your Love Is My Favourite Band, as well as some fan favourite tracks like Dream Lover. If you're going to Leeds Festival later this year, then I highly recommend that you catch their set, as what I saw here at Live at Leeds was phenomenal, and they deserve all the attention and support that they have. What an incredible experience and a fantastic way to end the day off. Live at Leeds is one of the best music festivals I've been to, and if you're struggling to find some new music or you want to see who will be the next big thing, then this festival is not one to be missed. Thank you so much to the SRAs and Shock Radio for giving me the opportunity to explore what this festival has to offer. It's been unforgettable.